This program is made possible by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries. Life is full of challenges and uncertainty. We need to feel sure God hears us when we pray. In this combo, Creflo Dollar teaches how to have an effective prayer life. The Purpose and Essence of Prayer combo includes the two-message series, along with the Purpose and Essence of Prayer Grace Curriculum mini-book and the Understanding God's Design for Your Life and Thankfulness two-message series, all for the love gift of $35 or more. Call the number on the screen or go online to order today.
Somebody says, well, how can a sinner be gone and I'm still sinning? The sinner is gone, you're still sinning, because when you got born again, you never reprogrammed your mind with the Word. The sinner is gone, you still sinning, because you never got the new download. The sinner is gone, you still sinning, because you've not renewed your mind. The Bible says renew your mind so you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you don't renew your mind, the sinner could be gone, and it is. The new creation can be alive, and it is. But if you don't renew your mind, guess what happens? You'll still sin.
I'm a world changer.
This is Changing Your World with Creflo Dollar. Now, from the World Dome in College Park, Georgia, here's Pastor Dollar with today's message.
Come on, let's put our hands together and give the Lord a big hand clap. Welcome him here this morning. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. We have been talking about life transformation. And in this series, we are discovering one of the hottest items that you could discover as a Christian. And that is, you understand that the key issue to our lives as Christians is knowing our identity. Knowing who we are in Christ Jesus. Now, I've already established, and I'll do it again for the benefit of our teaching today, that man is a tripart being. That simply means man is three parts. Man is a spirit. Say out loud, I am a spirit.
I am a spirit.
He possesses a soul. Say, I possess a soul.
I possess a soul.
And he lives in a physical body. Okay, so man is a spirit. You don't have one. You are a spirit being. You are a spirit being created in righteousness and true holiness. You have a soul, that's your mind, your will, and your emotions. And you live in a physical body. Now, to not understand this, you'll find yourself all your life, you'll find yourself thinking that you are your body, or you'll find yourself thinking that you are your soul, but you don't get a revelation that you are a spirit being created in the image of God. You are a spirit being. When you die, death is not the end of who you are. When you die, you leave your body behind, but your spirit and renewed mind, you're absent from the body, but you're present with the Lord. Say again, I'm a spirit being.
I'm a spirit.
Now, that's the thing we don't get. I am a spirit being. I possess a soul, but I am a spirit being. Say out loud, I am a spirit being.
I am a spirit being.
You possess a soul.
I possess a soul.
You live in a body.
I live in a body.
The body is the physical house that gives you physical authority in this world. The body is the physical equipment that allows you, here's a physical hand taking hold of a physical handkerchief, holding on to a physical podium. Without this body, I have no comprehension to physical things. But this is not you. It's just like if we would see you and riding in a car down the street, somebody said, there go Jack. Well, that's not Jack, that's the car he rides in. Take him out of the car, you just have the car. Would it still be Jack? No, he's no longer in the car, praise God. So likewise, here's the thing we've got to get. I am a spirit being. You know more about your physical house than you do your genuine self. I am a spirit being created in the image of God. You've been put in a new body. You are a new creation. The old you passed away. The new you showed up. The Bible says, Ephesians 4:24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So now, you're born into the earth, You're born with the nature of sin. You're born with the root of sin, which means because you have the root of sin, you are going to produce the fruit of sinning. When you have the nature, for example, if an apple tree has an apple root, it'll produce apples because it will produce after what it is. It is an apple tree because it has an apple root. Now, the day you got born again, that old sin nature died. The new creation came into being. And now that new creation is created in righteousness. It's created in true holiness. Ephesians 1:13, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Hebrews 12:23, that the spirits of just men might be made righteous. Colossians 1:28 says that in Christ we are perfect. And in 1 John 3:9, it says, whosoever is born of God, well, what part of you was born of God? Spirit, soul, or body? What? Your spirit was born of God. Whatsoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him and cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, let's begin here this morning in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, if any man be in Christ, how many of you are in Christ? Okay, question, when did you get in Christ? The day you got born again, what happened? You got what? In Christ. So if any man be in Christ, what kind of creature is he? You are a new creature in Christ. You're not the old, you are the new. You are a new creature in Christ. Old things are what? Behold, all things have become what? Now, I like the NIV, it says this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. So if you're in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. Say out loud, the old has gone, the new is here. Say it again, the old has gone, the new is here. So the sinner is dead. The sinner is dead. We are truly brand new creations. There is nothing about who you are now that goes along with sinner. The sinner is dead. The sinner is gone. The sinner doesn't exist anymore. So if the sinner is dead, the sinner is gone, and the sinner doesn't exist anymore, do not ever refer to yourself in any kind of way as a sinner. There's nothing about you that's a sinner. Say out loud, the sinner is gone. The new is here. The sinner is gone. The sinner is gone. The sinner is gone. Now, everything about your life and everything about success in your life is going to depend on you believing what you just said out loud. Everything in every part of your life is going to be based on if you believe what you just said. The sinner is gone. Somebody says, well, how can a sinner be gone and I'm still sinning? The sinner is gone. You're still sinning because when you got born again, you never reprogrammed your mind with the word. The sinner is gone. You still sinning because you never got the new download. The sinner is gone. You still sinning because you've not renewed your mind. The Bible says renew your mind so you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you don't renew your mind, the sinner could be gone, and it is. The new creation can be alive, and it is. But if you don't renew your mind, guess what happens? You'll still sin. Say out loud, the sinner's gone.
Sinner's gone.
Say it again, the sinner's gone.
Sinner's gone.
So you can no longer go around and say, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Which one are you? You're saved by grace. Ain't nothing about you goes together with sinner. The sinner is gone. Everything about your life is going to be based on this little simple thing. The sinner is gone. The sinner is gone. Now, I'm going to get real radical today, so I need you to say that one more time. The sinner is gone. So the sinner is dead. The sinner is gone. We are truly brand new creations. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. The sinner is dead. The sinner is gone. We are truly brand new creations. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a brand new creation.
I'm a brand new creation.
Turn to the other side and say, I'm a species of being that's never existed before. Look at me and say, the sinner is gone. Say one more thing for him. Somebody say, well, you sure got us saying a whole lot. You know, you preach. Let us be quiet. Say out loud, the old is gone.
The new is here.
I am not a sinner any longer. The sinner's dead. The new creation is alive. I'm telling you, everything about your life is going to be based on whether or not you believe what you just said. Now look at 1 Thessalonians 5:23. He says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Now notice this is not H-O-L-Y. This is holy, all one piece, whole. Sanctify you whole. You're going to be sanctified whole, your whole spirit, your whole soul, your whole body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wholeness in your spirit. Wholeness in your soul. Wholeness in your body. You have a whole spirit. You are a spirit being. You have a whole soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. You live in a whole body that is the tripart being of a human. Our spirits are new. And this new divine nature is to influence our soul and to influence our body. Now, here's the deal. You've got to come to the place where you allow this new creation to dominate the human system. You've got to come to the place where you allow your born-again man to dominate your soul and your thinking, to dominate your physical body. You cannot allow an unrenewed mind that has not been renewed with the word. You cannot allow it, nor can you afford to allow an unrenewed mind to lead the system of life. You cannot allow an unrestrained body to lead the system of life, just the impulses of the body or the flesh. You can't allow it to lead the system of life. It's not equipped. The only part of you that is equipped to lead you and to lead your life system is your spirit, which is born again, which is perfect, which is created in righteousness and true holiness, which is made in the image of God. When you allow your born again spirit to lead the human system, then the mind has got to agree with your born-again spirit. How? By renewing it with the word. And then your body will be in line with it because that born-again spirit will quicken your mortal body and make it alive to the word. And so now you're being led by your spirit, not by your emotions. Being led by your spirit, not by your feelings. Being led by your spirit, not by the impulses of your flesh. You're being led by your spirit, which is just like God. And when you allow your spirit to lead you, God is right there leading you. And you'll always end up in the place where you need to be because you're being led by the spirit. Well, what does the Bible say? Galatians chapter 5, 16. If you are led by the spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And how many know Jesus said, my word is spirit and life. So if the word of God becomes your guidance and your spirit that's born again, you're going to end up in the right places. Now, I think you got a hold of the basis of what I'm saying. So let's get into it now. Having the right belief about a thing, right believing produces what? Right living. Having the wrong belief about a thing, wrong believing produces what? Wrong living. If you look at every issue you have in life, the issue is going to be because you're believing wrong. Wrong believing produces wrong living. Wrong believing produces wrong living. Identify every crazy issue in your life, and the base of that crazy issue is wrong believing. Any addictions, fear, shame. Identify whatever the issue is, and the bottom line will be wrong believing. Learn the right way to believe, and you can turn that thing around. Learn how to believe right, and you're no longer going to be subject to the fear and the addictive behavior and all of the other stuff. right believing produces right living. Every time you find yourself caught up in something, it's because you're not believing right. So having the right belief about yourself is real repentance. Having the right belief about yourself and who you are is real repentance. Real repentance. Somebody say repent. We've used it all the time in church, and guess how we've used it? We've used the word repent. Some people define it as I'm sorry. So when bad behavior takes place, Christian people say I repent, because you're repenting of bad behavior. Now, this is about to get radical, but that is not correct. And I want to take you through something. You have so been missed. That's what religion's taught you, and that's wrong believing, and that's why the behavior hadn't changed, because you're repenting of bad behavior. Bad behavior is the fruit of repentance. So if bad behavior is the fruit of repentance, then what is it that we should be repenting of? Well, let me say this. Let's define repentance. The word literally means to change the mind. To repent means to change the mind. Repentance is a change of mind which will change your direction. It's a change of mind. It's a change of direction. And when you look at a change of mind, when you look at a change of direction, when you look at a change of heart, that means you're turning your back on what you used to do. Listen to that. That's what we did. We just took it that way. Turning your back on what you used to do and going the other direction. How many of you heard that before? That's not true. The definition of repentance is a change of the mind, but it's not to change your mind about the bad behavior. Real repentance is changing your mind about your old identity. Real repentance is I am changing my mind about being a sinner. Since I'm no longer a sinner, I change my mind about believing I am a sinner because I'm no longer a sinner. It's changing your mind concerning who you used to be. Now, if you'll change your mind about who you used to be, behavior is the result of repenting where your identity is concerned. In other words, if you change your mind about your identity, you'll see changed behavior. But if all you try to do is change your behavior because you think that your behavior determines your identity, your behavior does not determine who you are. You are not what you do. What you do is a result of who you believe you are. If you believe you a thug, you'll produce thug fruit. If you believe you're righteous, you'll produce righteous fruit. We got it backwards. Religion says work hard to produce righteous fruit, then you'll be righteous. Work hard to produce holy fruit, then you'll be holy. No. The day you got born again and the sinner died, that day you got in Christ, you're holy that day. That day you got in Christ, you're righteous that day. That day you got in Christ, you're redeemed that day. Now the day you believe that you're righteous, you'll produce righteous works. The whole thing is based on whether or not you'll repent of your old identity. You know, often we speak about repentance as a change of behavior. Think about it. Every time you do something wrong, you know, oh, I cussed her out, I repent. What you're saying is, I changed my mind about cussing her out. But then 3 more months, you're cussing somebody else out. So you can't, you're sorrowful about what you did, but that behavior won't stay changed because you haven't settled the issue of who you really are. You won't believe it. You won't believe that I am a new creation created in Christ Jesus. I am in Christ, which means I am holy. I am in Christ, which means I'm righteous. I'm in Christ, which means I'm sanctified. I'm in Christ, which means I'm just like him. And the devil says, I don't want you to think you just like him, because if you start thinking you just like him, then you're going to start behaving another way. So what I'm going to do is to try to get you to behave a certain way and then shame you for your behavior. See, guilt says, I'm sorry that I did a bad thing. Shame says, because you did a bad thing, you're bad. So the enemy is going to try to use shame to stop you from believing that you are who you are in Christ. This is huge. This is gigantic. This is not just a religious thing where you're walking around saying, I'm in Christ. It's gigantic because your behavior keeps telling you who you are. And you can come to church and be saved, but go out there and do something crazy, and then you come back to church feeling bad because you thought you were saved, but look at what you did. Look how quickly your behavior changed your identity. A changed behavior as a Christian is the fruit of changed identity. I'm not a sinner anymore. I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. I'm righteous. I'm holy. I'm sanctified right now. Somebody says, well, it don't seem like it. You're saying it doesn't seem like it because you don't see any fruit yet. But an apple tree is still an apple tree even before it gives birth to apples. You don't have to see apples, and there's still going to be an apple tree. Why? Because the root determines the identity. Your root is in Christ. Your root determines your identity. But as long as real repentance doesn't take place, the changed behavior might not last. As long as real repentance doesn't take place. If you look out through the New Testament, it says, repent and believe. Repent and believe. It kept saying, repent and believe. Believe what? Believe that you're this new creation. Believe that you're no longer a sinner. Believe that you're in Christ and you're righteous and you're holy and you're sanctified. Believe that. But that's hard for people to believe when they keep staring at what they do. And you're trying to change what you do. And all we do is try to modify our behavior. And if all you ever do is try to modify your behavior, you're just going to be disappointed to recognize that that modified behavior doesn't stay the same because you hadn't changed your belief about who you are. Say out loud, I'm the righteousness of God. Now, for you to say that, and then somebody says, well, you didn't look like you was real righteous yesterday, you need to just say to them, give it time. It's going to be revealed in me after a while. You'll see after a while, just like an apple tree. Give it time. When you see those apples, you'll know I'm an apple tree. Give it time. Give it time. Give it time. You don't see no apples on me right now. Give it time. I'm still an apple tree. I'm still an apple tree. Don't get it twisted. Don't judge me too soon. I'm still an apple tree. The apples are coming. That's because you realize who you are. Are you listening to me? So, real transformation happens when we discover who we really are. Who are we really? We are the new creation. We are and have been made in true righteousness and holiness. The Bible says, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. Our spirit is identical to God's spirit. Identical, identical. That new creation is identical to Him. You have a hard time believing that because religion's taught you that your identity is based on what you do. That is not who you are. You are not what you do. How many times have I said that? You are not what you do. You are who He has created you to be, and you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. All right, I'm still building on foundation. We ain't got radical yet. We finna about to get real radical. You see, transformation, we're talking about that. How do I transform from where I am right now? How do I transform from the fear, from the shame? How do I transform from the addictive behavior? How do I transform? Well, it starts with right believing. I just explained to you the right way to believe. It starts with right believing. Change of belief comes first. In transformation, if you're being transformed from who you are now to who God wants you to be, it starts with belief first. And so as we change our mind about who we are, as we change our belief about who we are, then the fruit of repentance will be changed behavior. As we change our belief about who we are, and as we change what we know about who we are, the fruit of that change is going to be good behavior.